attendance that we have today. Usually on a Mother's Day, we have a very good attendance. And I'm not going to say we have a good attendance, but we have a little bit better, I think, than normal. The difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day, as seen by the world, is on Father's Day, you take Dad fishing, and on Mother's Day, you come to church with your mother. It should be both, but that seems to be the way it is. As was said earlier, we're so appreciative of the attendance that we have, and especially our visitors. I got to meet a couple of visitors. There might be some that I have not greeted as of yet, but if you will, make sure you allow the congregation to get to know you. This is a very warm and friendly congregation. I'm sure you will enjoy meeting them. And if opportunity ever arises, we hope that you will join us again. Happy Mother's Day. I say that not only to our mothers, but also to our grandmothers. You know, Mother's Day is special, not only for mothers, but for us kids as well. Since all of us had a mother, Mother's Day is a very important day for us as well. I hope I can say some things today that will not only touch all of our hearts, but will encourage us as well. Now, ultimately, we're going to be using 2 Timothy chapter 1 as our text, but it's going to be a while before we get there, but that will give you ample time to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, on a scale of things, I suppose my sermon today is going to be short and sweet, but it's also going to be very direct. It's also going to be very to the point. I am not going to be using as many scriptural verses as I normally do and as I like to do, but as we proceed with this lesson, I think you will understand why. Now, before I begin, I need to make the same confession that I make every time I preach a Mother's Day sermon. I'm not a mother. I never have been a mother. And unless something drastically changes, I will never be a mother. Therefore, I am very, very unqualified to stand before an audience filled with mothers and tell you about motherhood. But I will try anyway. But I do not know the thought process of being a mother. I do not know the emotion of being a mother. But I do know that of every human being I know, mothers are the most respected, more than our fathers, more than our teachers, more than our politicians, more than anyone. Mothers are the most respected segment of our society. Now, there are many directions I could take in this lesson, and over the years, I've gone in many directions. But I hope the one that I choose today will be of most benefit for this audience. Now, in times past, I preached a sermon on how to be a great mother. How I came up with points for that, I don't know, but I preached that. I preached before the ideal wife and mother, but I used Proverbs 31 as the gist of that lesson. I've also looked at some of the great examples of motherhood we find in the Bible, and also some of the not so great examples of motherhood. And I've done all of those so many times before. But today I would like to present a lesson that I have entitled The Importance of Being a Mother, and even more so, The Importance of Being a Godly Mother. Now, I've already hinted at this, but by far, mothers are the most influential and respected people in all of the earth. A mother can give their child advice that no one else can give, and that child will heed it if that child is wise. There is also a small group of individuals, of which mothers are there, whose true worth and value cannot be determined by money or wealth. You are the most important people to ever walk the face of this earth. And though I am proud that I am a father, and I am proud that I am a grandfather, I am humbled when I realize the responsibility that not only you have placed upon yourself and that your family has placed upon you, but also the responsibility that God has placed upon you. Back in the early 1700s, there was an aspiring songwriter who decided he wanted to write Christian music. Well, he got to thinking about his background, his history, his upbringing, and he thought about his mother. He thought, my mother was very strict, but she was also very loving. Because times were so hard, she was very compassionate, though she was very firm. And he said, that's what gave me the impetus to write what turned out to be the number one song of all time, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. And the most meaningful verse ever written in song, the last verse of that song, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to spend God's praise than when we first begun. He owed that to his mother. John Quincy Adams was a very educated man. But when he was introduced and sworn in as the President of the United States, the first thing he said in his acceptance speech was, my mother was my teacher. She taught me right and wrong. She taught me about dignity and honesty. And it would be terrible for me to let her down. And he was the one that first made a statement like this: all that I am, I owe to my mother. James Garfield's father died when he was only 3 years old. Therefore, all of his upbringing fell onto his mother. One day when he became president, after taking his oath, he leaned over and kissed his mother on the forehead and said, Mother, I'm here only because of you. Abraham Lincoln's mother read to him the Bible every night. She died when he was 9 years old. But she said during that time, I would rather that Abe learn how to read the Bible than own a farm if he could only do one. The last thing supposedly she said to him was this: I'm going away. I won't be back. Respect your father and live the way I have taught you to live, according to the precepts of the Bible. Douglas MacArthur said, it was my sainted mother that taught me not only respect for God, but respect for country. And the last one. Once upon a time, a man and his wife had four sons. Each of them became a preacher, and each of them was a preacher of note to some degree. The father was also a preacher of some degree. Well, as a human interest story, one time a newspaper came from a major city and wanted to interview the father, the preacher, and his four sons, who were also preachers. Well, after the regular interview, almost as a joke, he said, now, who is your family's greatest preacher? And all at the same time looked at their mother. I am humbled every time I preach a Mother's Day sermon. I don't know the feelings of motherhood. I don't know the responsibility. But I respect you with all of my heart. Now let's turn to our text. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to begin reading with verse 3. Now, of course, in this passage of Scripture, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's also writing about Timothy. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of you in your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded also in you. I don't see how anyone can read that passage of Scripture and not realize the importance of motherhood. I don't see how anyone could read that passage of Scripture as a man and not respect what Paul is saying, and as a woman not to be humbled by what Paul is saying. One son, one boy, one grandson taught everything he knew about faith by his mother and his grandmother. And remember a few things. Paul felt toward Timothy just like a son. In both of the letters that we have that he wrote to Timothy, in the first letter he referred to him as his true son in the faith. In his second letter he referred to him as his beloved son. And so no doubt as they traveled together, especially on that second great missionary journey, Paul and Timothy developed a father-son relationship just like any true father would have with his true son. But remember something else. Paul had so much confidence in this young man. We need to stress that. So much confidence in this young man that when problems arose in the Corinthian church, who did he send to help straighten them out? The young man, Timothy. Corinth perhaps having more doctrinal problems than any other congregation. When the church in Thessalonica was grieved because of the persecution that was thrown at them, who did Paul send there to comfort them and teach them? It was the young man, Timothy. When Paul was prisoner in Rome, he sent young Timothy to Philippi to encourage the brethren there to remain faithful under all of this persecution. And in his first and second letter, Timothy is now in Ephesus. That's where Paul has instructed him to go. And false teaching has arisen. And who does Paul send? Young Timothy, to straighten out that congregation and to set everything in order. He needed someone who was doctrinally sound. He needed someone who was doctrinally strong. And who did he send? The son and the grandson of Eunice and Lois. Why? Because as the verse said a moment ago, his faith was seen first in his grandmother and in his mother. And Paul says, I'm persuaded it is in you as well. And when we realize this confidence was bestowed by a man who was perhaps the most mature, the strongest, as doctrinally sound as any Christian, Paul, when we realize the confidence that he had in Timothy, it humbles us even more when we think of his mother and grandmother. But really, I got ahead of myself. I guess I'll ask the question anyway. How did he develop this faith? By studying and looking at and using as his example his faithful mother and his faithful grandmother. So behind Timothy's strong faith, behind his deep conviction, behind his solid doctrinal foundation were women, two women, a mother and a grandmother. Do you realize that verse 15 is the entire biography of these two women? Neither one of them is ever mentioned before or after in the New Testament. And yet they sit right up there with the other faithful women of God who have taught and lived Christianity. They taught their son, their grandson. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says that Timothy learned the scripture from his youth. He learned it from his mother and his grandmother. And this early nurturing prepared Timothy for the very difficult work that would be put squarely on his shoulders in years to come. So their names are permanently etched in the list of great and faithful mothers who taught their children the way of the Lord. They trained their son in the way of the Lord. I want to read my conclusion from my notes. And the reason I want to do this is because I want to make sure what I say is exactly what I intend on saying. Mothers, of all the things you have done in life, none is as important as the godly influence you have had and are still having upon your children and grandchildren. When you compare yourself to other women, you may feel inadequate because you don't have as much schooling or your jobs were not that important, even if they were outside the home. Maybe you never had your own office. Maybe you didn't bring in a big paycheck at the end of every week. But you gave your children what they needed. You gave them the foundation of Jesus Christ. You taught them the way of the Lord. You taught them what is right and wrong and how to be decent and honorable and respectable citizens, and even more important and more valuable than you will ever realize is the influence you've had on others as well. I speak for the several of us who grew up in this congregation. I speak often about the male examples we had as we were growing up. What tremendous men of God we had to look up to. But I think they will also agree with me on this. It wasn't like we had just one mother. We had a congregation full of mothers. And if we needed to be rebuked, they would rebuke us. But if we deserved accolade, they were quick to give it. And again, I think those of us who grew up here owe our lives to those women as well as the men. Never underestimate yourself, ladies, as a mother and a grandmother. I did not mention first principles in this lesson. Actually, I did that intentionally. I wanted to preach something that was important. I wanted to preach something that was truly on my heart. And that's what I did. But we will never fail, as long as we are a congregation, to extend the invitation. Because when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he was not just speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to us as well. So if this morning there is someone who needs to respond because you have been studying your Bible, you realize that you are outside of Christ, you've never been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, or perhaps you've drifted away or you've allowed things to get between you and your dedication to the Lord, those things need to be removed. So if you need prayers of forgiveness, prayers of strength, if you need to be baptized, whatever. The song is number 876. We'll be singing all three verses of this song. Shall we stand? And won't you come if you need to?